you divide this idea of cost cutting up in the contracting shop into, I think, very wise segments. The nobody's ever done this before. The ideas that people have used before that have never caught on. And then the category that you call, this is so old that it's new again. What caused you to shape these ideas in this way?
Well, I just think that, you know, different people and different organizations have different appetites for risk and for being the first person on the block to try something new. So I wanted to, above all, actually, I've been trying to do is sort of talk with the, you know, contracting officer community, the 1102 community, and the government, sort of say, I can come up with some ideas. I have come up with a bunch of ideas, but use your heads. You guys come up with ideas. This is part of our culture in contracting, to try to get a good deal for the government. That's sort of in our bones. I've sort of urged people, again, separate, I do have some ideas, but separate from my own ideas, I sort of say each 1102 ought to be looking at, you know, the major contract you're involved in recompeting or competing or even administering over the next 6, 8 months, whatever, and sort of think of what is one thing I can do to get a better deal for the government on this contract. So, you know, again, I got a bunch of ideas, but everybody should be coming up with ideas on this. This should be part of what we do.
That sounds remarkably similar to what your current successor, Dan Gordon, has been saying as part of his Mythbusters campaign is, you have to listen, you have to follow the rules of the FAR, but beyond that, use your heads and be creative and do what serves the customer, which in this case, the ultimate customer is the taxpayer, do what's best for the customer.
Right. Actually, believe it or not, the FAR tells you to do that, because in part one of the FAR, it says that if something is not forbidden by the FAR or forbidden by statute or executive order or whatever, and if it's in the interest of the government and the mission, you should consider that the idea is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So the FAR actually itself invites the 1102 community, the contracting officer and contract specialist community, to come up with interesting, maybe even off the beaten path, ways to save money or get a better deal for the government.
All right, you've got a bunch of these ideas in your latest post in the Lectern blog at Federal News, Federal Computer Week, and we have it linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And I love the title, Steve Kelman Broken Record, More on Contracting Cost Savings. And rather than me asking you about some of these, why don't you just tell me some of these that you like the most or that you think would be easiest to implement?
Well, I guess the two that are sort of my bookmarks, one is the one that I don't think anybody's tried before, and I'd love to have somebody try. In fact, somebody wants to try, send me an email, send you an email, call you up, call me up, get in contact with me. And that's the idea that, so, you know, for a major procurement, you're doing a draft RFP. Invite the potential bidders to make suggestions for ways, the specifications, the requirements, what you're asking for from the government's end can be changed to reduce the cost to the government without any or much sacrifice in performance. And then, you know, that we do now. But what nobody's ever done before is, my suggestion is, tell the people when you send out that draft RFP, for every suggestion you make that we accept in the final RFP we send out, we're going to give you a certain specified number of points or evaluation credits when we evaluate the proposal. You actually get points, and you get a better chance of winning the contract if you come up with some suggestions that the government's accepted. So that's my one that's nobody's ever tried before, but I think I really would like somebody to try it.
And that sounds like that fits with what you're talking about something that's not, since it's not explicitly forbidden in the FAR, that you can do it.
Absolutely.
And should go ahead and give it a shot.
Absolutely. No reason. There's no reason not to do it. Now, my one at the other extreme, if you don't like taking a risk, if you don't want to be the first person out doing something, the one that's so old that it's new, and I bet most contracting folks know this phrase, is value engineering. And that's actually, in some ways, a similar concept during the administration of a contract, after you sign the contract, that there's a provision in the FAR that allows the contractor to propose change orders for the contract that would reduce the cost by changing the specs in an appropriate way. And if you a value engineering change proposal is accepted by the government and the contractor share the savings from that. That's been around for a long time. I was talking to Deb Sonderman, who's the senior procurement exec at the Interior Department recently. She said, using value engineering, the Interior Department is currently saving $100 million a year on a $1 billion a year construction budget. So they're saving 10% of their construction budget based on value engineering trade change proposals. That one's so old that it's new. Let's revive that as well.
And I would think in the budget environment and the bottom line environment for the contractors that we're in right now, any chance for them to grab some extra revenue, they'll be glad to take you up on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, the idea is to appeal to the contractor's incentive to try to make money.
Right.
But we want the contractor to make money by helping the government, not by exploiting the government.